you know, I believe all a prayer is answered. It's just not answered necessarily in the way we want it to be answered, in the sense that, you know, sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes that answer is what we need to hear, even though we may not sense it at that time. And of course, we do not know the providence of God or the mind of God. It's very important for us to always say that, to assume we understand how God thinks and how God loves and how God God's providence works is something we have to be very careful about, because, as St. Thomas Aquinas puts it, whatever we say about God is more untrue than true. We know what God is not and what he's like, but we really don't know what God is except as God has revealed himself to us. So when we say, and it's true, God is love, and we to some extent understand what that means, but we don't fully understand what that means, because we cannot love like God loves, except that he's given us this share in his love through the gift of agape. But even then, what we do in trying to love God pales in comparison to his love for every single human, whoever was, is, and will be. So we have to be very careful to say we just don't understand the providence of God. So we do know that God has asked of us, even commanded of us, that we seek and we'll find, that we knock and it will be open, that we ask and we'll receive. So we should ask and seek and knock, because he's asked us to do that, even commanded us to do that. Now, I believe he did that because he knew it would be good for us. And as he reminds us, you know, what father among you would not give his son a snake when he asks for a loaf? You know, he wouldn't do that. And, you know, because a loving father gives his son what he needs. So God's always going to give us what we need and what's best for us. It's just that we don't always know what's best for us. And that's where we do have to defer to his greater wisdom. That's why, you know, even Jesus in his human nature, on numerous occasions we see this, when he taught us the Our Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, are two sterling examples where we see Jesus specifically saying, not my will, but your will be done. Because in our human nature, you know, what we want isn't always what's best for us. Yeah. So, yeah, no, yeah, we just have to defer to God's, you know, it's God's universe. He's running it. And we have to defer to that. But part of his plan for us was that we would seek and ask and knock. And we know that's best for us. I believe prayer is very powerful. I have seen it change so many hearts and minds. I've seen miracle after miracle because of prayer. So for me, it's like saying rain is wet. So prayer is powerful, because I've just seen it, create, and I'm talking about big things and small things, you know, things I'd never thought I'd see in my lifetime, like the crumbling of the Berlin Wall, and the end of apartheid in South Africa, to use two big examples, and, you know, numerous small things, where God has answered prayer. So, you know, it is, to me, it's so obviously happening in every moment. And if you want to see it happen every day, in every sacrament I celebrate, God is doing a miracle, and he does it because we pray and we follow the formula that he's given us of a sacramental encounter. And he absolutely makes sure that that sacramental grace is made possible through the sacrament. And he does that every day. So, you know, the most important prayer is being answered every day as we confect the Eucharist and Christ becomes present to us in the Eucharistic species, when sins are forgiven in the confessional, when healing is administered through the sacrament of anointing. I could go on and on, but you know, when union is made possible and made real in the sacrament of marriage, you know, that happens every time, but that's all answered prayer. And that's why, like I said, like rain refreshes the earth, so prayer transforms in a positive way the human condition.
Okay. I struggle. I mean, like a lot of people I'm sure do with the prayer, because I know that he commands us to ask. It's just that when I do ask, those prayers don't get answered. Then I get tired of asking. I'll continue to pray Our Father. I'll recite the rosary and all that, because out of respect, and they deserve it. I feel like I don't want to get let down. I guess that's the struggle I have. You know,
well, no, yeah, God, you know, yeah, your struggle really is you're afraid God is going to pull the rug out from under you, that God really isn't a loving father, that he's a trickster, and he's going to give you a life of unhappiness, misery, and sadness. And that's just not the God who is. But, you know, that's what Satan would like us to believe God is. You know, that's what, you know, that's what I would say the original sin was, that Satan convinced Adam and Eve that God was not a loving father, but rather a stern taskmaster. In fact, God loves us more than we love ourselves, and he knows what's best for us. And if we cooperate with his will at every moment of our life, we'll have nothing but joy and peace. Now, he told us it's going to be the cross, too, because to love in a world full of sin takes the form of the cross. Mm-hmm. But we've seen his loving son that God's there throughout it all. And it doesn't mean he takes away the suffering. No, because that would mean taking away the love. But he gives us the power to love through it all. And with that comes great joy and peace. So even from the cross, Jesus could continue his mission of preaching and teaching and sanctifying and revealing to us just how merciful the Father's love is.